Now, the legendary beginnings of this great sequence of lives, the Bodhisattvas' lives, begin eons and eons ago. I'm not sure how many. In the time when the Buddha Dipankara was teaching. The traditional Buddhist worldview is truly cosmic. I mean, it's completely mind-blowingly cosmic. You've just got these great world systems and sequences of world systems arising and passing and dissolving. And you get these great long periods of time called kalpas. And within these great time periods, in these great world systems, you get Buddhas arising and disappearing. Shakyamuni is, our Buddha of our time and place, but he will, pass away. And then there might be eons and eons and eons, kalpas, where there is no Buddha. But a Buddha will come. It's part of the principle of things. Anyway, long, long ago, in the long distant past, there was this Buddha Dipankara, the light bringer. And the story goes that there was, in the time of Dipankara, there was an ascetic, a young ascetic of good family named Sumedha. And he'd spent many years meditating in retreat, and he was very near to personal enlightenment, some sort of personal enlightenment. And he went one day to the great city nearby to beg, and he notices that the city is all done up in a festive way. There's people lining the streets, everything looks very beautiful. And he asked a young woman in the crowd by the side of the road, who's holding a bunch of lotus flowers, "Well, what's happening?" And she said, "Don't you know? Don't you know? The Buddha Dipankara, the supreme and fully enlightened Buddha Dipankara, is coming to the city to teach." And then Sumedha sees the great Buddha and he's utterly overcome. He's so moved by the majesty of this great Buddha, his great spiritual beauty. He kind of sees his wisdom and compassion, and somehow he realizes that he wants to be a Buddha himself. He doesn't just want a personal spiritual attainment. He wants to follow the path to being a Buddha himself. He wants to rediscover the way to enlightenment when that has been lost from sight. He wants to become a great Buddha. And he knows that it will involve a life devoted to extensive practice of the paramitas, generosity and so on. It will involve lifetime after lifetime of self-sacrifice, of really working for the benefit of others, to accumulate the necessary spiritual qualities to become a great Buddha. And he wants to go to the Buddha to make offerings, to make his vow that this is what he's going to do and to receive the Buddha's blessing, but he has nothing. He's an ascetic. So he asks the young woman by his side to please give him a lotus flower so he can make an offering. Well, by this time the young woman's fallen in love with him, fallen in love with Sumedha. This is the sort of thing that happens in the Jatakas. And he was very handsome. He's kind of glowing with spiritual beauty as well as being quite dishy physically. And she says, "Well, you can have the lotus flowers, but only if you marry me." And Sumedha says, "But I'm an ascetic, I'm a recluse, how can I do that?" But the young woman won't budge. "Well, if you want the flowers to make the offering, you've got to marry me." So he wants to make this vow, he wants to make this offering, so he has to. This is his first. He's been asked to do something, he's got to respond. This is the beginning of the Bodhisattva path. So he consents to marriage. And I can see all the rationalizations going on in your minds with my wisdom eye, but anyway, never mind. And he takes the lotus flowers and offers them to the Buddha and makes the great vow to gain enlightenment for all beings, to follow the Bodhisattva path for eons. He generates, in other words, great bodhicitta. Dipankara blesses him, encourages him, witnesses his vow. And Sumedha leaves the Buddha and sets off on his long and arduous journey of the Bodhisattva path, beginning, of course, as a married man. So it's a beautiful story, and the symbolism is that of the vision of the Buddha, The vision of the Buddha that Sumedha has, the vision of Dipankara, engenders faith in him, out of which arises bodhicitta, and so he can then set out on the path. All this is the background to this little passage. And every pious Buddhist would have known this when they read it. It's a shorthand for a wonderful myth and story, which traditional Buddhists would have completely accepted. It'd be part of their worldview. So, and it's very, very important to people.